This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Book the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Now, everyone out there that is usually an Apple Podcasts user, I know that we're having some issues with Apple Podcasts not downloading. That is why we are posting it to YouTube and Facebook directly as well. Unfortunately, there's nothing really we can do about it. It seems to be an Apple app issue. And I know that some people have said that we're the only show they're having that issue with. But unfortunately, like, our show's good. If you go to Apple Podcasts on a desktop, it plays just fine. If you go to the app on your phone or on an iPad or something like that, it does not play. So it's not an issue on our end. Unfortunately, there's nothing we can do about it except give it to you in more places, which is what we're doing. So you can listen to this show on Facebook directly or on YouTube. We are wherever you guys want to be. So here we are. It was a shortened off season, if you can believe that. We lost in the first round just a few months ago. Doesn't feel like that long ago. It's only been, you know, maybe 3 months since they gave out the Stanley Cup, not to the Washington Capitals. But joining me, as always, to talk all about it, Coach Dan, what's going on, man? How you doing? Welcome back.
Hey, buddy. It's good to talk again.
It is. It is. You know, Coach Dan and I, during the off season, we don't talk to each other. We don't really like each other besides the show.
This is all pretend.
Yeah, all pretend.
Doing the program. We actually cannot. Why do you think we always do this online? We don't do it in person.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It has nothing to do with the fact that you live up in Baltimore and I am down in like the southern-ish, central-ish part of Montgomery County.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of every show, I think we both just go, oh, finally.
We're done. No. Okay. And then we're like, all right, I got to go deal with my kid now who won't stop yelling in the background.
Well, here we are again. It's another training camp. This is, I believe, this might be our 9th or 10th training camp that we are following. And Alex Ovechkin, we know from our last show, still around, still the captain of the Capitals. But there's
you said still around like there was a possibility. You know what? I think we're done with the Russian guy.
I mean, there were negotiations. There were contract negotiations. There was a chance, slim at best, but still a chance that he was going to leave.
Slim is putting it nicely.
Yeah. I
still think it's weird that his contract ends a year after Backstrom. I really thought they were going to end the same year and kind of, you know, ride off into the sunset together. That really surprised me.
Well, I mean, I'm sure, like, once Backstrom's like, I'm done, Ovi's going to be like, you know what? Me too. I'm done too. I'm out of here. But anyway, so here we are. Unfortunately, though, we do have to start the show with a little bit of bad news. Speaking of Nick Backstrom, he is not working out at training camp right now. He, as we found out the last couple days, he had a hip issue at the end of last season during the regular season into that first round. And he had to have, I believe, surgery this offseason, and he's still recovering from that. So he's not at training camp. That's a bit of a worry right now.
Well, he's there.
He's there, but he's not participating.
So, I mean, it sounds like he's going to be out a few weeks. I think McClellan actually came out and said he's going to be out potentially for a little bit. Ovechkin apparently said that, you know, he thinks he's going to be back tomorrow. He just did some – he gave him a Russian vaccine. It's going to help him. So,
Sputnik.
Yeah, so, Backstrom will be back tomorrow ready to go with brand new hip thanks to that vaccine. No, it sounds like he's going to be out for a while. Like you said, he had that nagging injury that kept it kept getting worse. It sounds like last season. You know, I was listening on Caps this morning. They were talking about how he even missed. I forgot about this, but he missed the last game or the second to last game last season as a result of it. And, you know, he's had hip issues in the past. So this isn't exactly a shocking thing. I feel like for him, it's this hip or he has issues with like headaches that can actually get him at, you know, he'll miss games or miss time during a game because of it. And
sure.
So, you know, it's something I was thinking about because. Not just with Backstrom, but, you know, Oshie had an injury late last season. Carlson had an injury late last season. And, you know, as your body gets older, and these guys are not old by any means in terms of just as people, but as athletes, as you know, professional athletes. They are a bit older. I mean, Carlson's only 31, Backstrom's 33, Ovechkin's 36, Oshie is 34. As you get older, your body doesn't heal as quickly as it used to. You know, an injury, you can get the exact same injury when you're 22 and when you're 35. At 35, it's going to take you longer to heal. And that's an issue for this team overall by having an older roster. I mean, the average age of their forwards right now, this is according to Cap Friendly, is 30. And it's a little off because they have certain guys on the team. Like, they have Brian Pinho there, but I don't anticipate he's going to make the roster. You know, they have the average age of 30. That might go up a little bit when Pinho's, if he's not on the team because he's 26. The average age of the defense is 31. Based on now, that might change as a result of sending, you know, Matt Irwin down, and he's 33, and bringing up Martin Fravari, you know, that'll bring that number down a bit. So right now on this, I mean, they don't have any defensemen under the age of 30 right now. You know, goaltending, they have the average age of 24.5. You have Samsonov, who's 24, Vanecek, who's 25. So that's, you know, you want to see this team getting a little bit younger going forward.
Sure.
And, you know, you have the older guys, and if they get an injury, it's going to take them a little longer to heal. And so that's something that this team has to be aware of. Backstrom's dealing with it right now. You know, Carlson had – I'm trying to find it. I can't write down exactly what it was. But he had a bone chip surgically removed from his knee this summer.
His kneecap.
Yeah, he got struck with a puck in front of the net. He had to get that removed. And then Oshie had a soft tissue injury. This I'm getting from Tariq El-Bashir on Twitter. He had a soft tissue injury that was bugging him late last season. Took longer to heal. That goes right into it. It's going to take longer for you when you're older to heal from an injury than it would when you're younger. And these guys are professional athletes, you know, so they're at, I would imagine, peak physical condition. But that's just a reality of your body as you get older. And that's something the Capitals have to be aware of going into the season as this roster continues to get older, that you need to have guys that are ready to step up into their place because they're going to take longer to come back from, unless you're Ovechkin because you're, you know, you got that Russian vaccine and so you never get hurt. But you need to have guys that are ready to step up in the event that they're out. And, you know, they have a guy who's wanting to push for an opportunity this season because they're likely going to have some injuries they have to deal with, and you need to have people that are ready, you know, to step up and play.
A little side quest info here. Tariq El-Bashir, while he is still covering the Capitals on The Athletic, he actually joined the TNT coverage as an analyst this season. So congrats to him. That's cool. And I can't wait to see him on TNT, even though he's bumping my my wrestling to TBS in
January.
He's
not doing it.
No, but the NHL is. But
that's true.
Watch AEW on Wednesday nights. But it's definitely this team is showing their age in this training camp. You do have to realize that. That's always been your big thing too, with a lot of these guys like Jacob Vrana, who was traded away, and talking about Hershey, about how little youth there is here on this team. And while we do have some amazing, phenomenal, fantastic players like Alexander Ovechkin, Nicholas Backstrom, John Carlson, TJ Oshie, those guys are older. And they're going to start showing that age that, you know, 82 games is a lot of games to play. It's a lot of miles to travel, especially in a regular season like we're going to have this year where they're going to be going everywhere. It takes longer, like you said. So, unfortunately, that's the way the world works. We kind of watched these guys grow up as we were growing up. You know, I do yoga every day, and I got to take some days off every once in a while because my knees get outstretched and I can't walk. So I don't know if that would have happened if I would have done yoga in my 20s, but that's just the way it is as you get older. But this team is definitely showing they kind of need a youth movement right now, even though we have some of the most talented hockey players on this roster that you can have. You know, Father Time always wins.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen. That's why they, you know, professional athletes and teams and leagues in general focus so much on nutrition and your body so that they can, you know, keep themselves at the highest level. And, you know, a lot of these guys are taking care of themselves. And, you know, you have players that have retired that talk about how, you know, they had to do everything they could to keep their bodies in top physical conditions so they could be ready. I mean, if they feel like years ago you'd have players, you know, you come into training camp out of shape, you know, still in good shape for like a normal human being, but for an athlete, they'd be out of shape and then they work themselves into shape. And now with training camp, you need to come in ready to go, like right away.
Right.
You know, their first game is what, Sunday?
Sunday, if you can believe that.
And they have six preseason games before the season starts, if I heard that correctly on Caps this morning. So there's not a ton of time to make a case, and it's out. I mean, this roster, they already have 12, I think I heard 12 players on the roster, forwards at least, that are on one-way deals. So if you're someone like Connor McMichael, you're going to have to push someone. You're going to have to really prove yourself to earn a roster spot. And I don't necessarily see it happening early in the season, but at some point he's going to get an opportunity this year.
Yeah, that was actually one of the guys I wanted to bring up to you. Connor McMichael, he's definitely bulked up. He's put on some pounds, and we've seen him. You know, he was in the World Juniors this past Christmas, and he got a silver playing for Canada. But he's definitely a name. He got one NHL game under his belt last year. We saw him a little bit with the Hershey Bears last year. But Connor McMichael is definitely a name that you're going to have to keep an eye on. But he may start the season. I don't know if he'll be here the entire time because, you know, the position he's playing in is a little crowded right now. But if someone were to go down, there's potential of him being the name that gets called up.
I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. He's gained 6 pounds of muscle in, between his upper body and lower body. He apparently spent the offseason training with Gary Roberts at his facility, the former NHL player who was really big into what he put into his body and how he trained and how he prepared for every season. He was training with Connor McDavid and Steven Stamkos. So being around those kind of players and understanding how those superstars in the National Hockey League, how they prepare for a season definitely can help him from an educational standpoint. I anticipate him not starting the season in DC. I think that he's going to end up, starting in Hershey, and I think he might be one of the first guys called up if there's an injury. But I also don't see how he necessarily, even if he plays really well and he's going to push someone out of a roster spot, it's not going to be in the center position. And he, is his favorite position, I would imagine, the position he's known for is being a center. But he's played wing before.
Right.
I think he's played wing for Canada. And so it's, can he push someone on the wing out of a roster spot? Is he going to push someone like a Connor Sheary, a Daniel Sprong, Garnett Hathaway, a Carl Hagelin out of a roster spot? I don't know. And this team does not have a lot of cap space.
I mean, that's the other thing, too. Like, yeah, you just brought up that they don't have a lot of cap space. So if this guy were to really show up and really do his thing in training camp, do these guys go, this guy doesn't look that good on the ice, and he's taken up a big chunk of our money. Let's see if we can trade this guy away. I think this Connor McMichael kid, he could really do something for us. Let's trade this other guy away because they're up against the cap. And if somebody were to go down or something, that's going to be rough because there's not much they can do about that. There's not much they can do wiggle room with this money situation. And plus, you do have guys like Michael Kempney coming back into the mix at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think a trade or two, maybe a trade, depending on the preseason, the first couple weeks of the season goes, could free up some cap space as well as free up a roster spot for someone you want to bring up. I mean, I think Favari is definitely pushing to get up there, and we know this team likes to have a left-sided defenseman, right-sided defenseman. Right now, on the left side, they have Orlov, Kempney, that's it. On the right, you have Carlson, Schultz, Jensen, and Van Riemsdyk. And so someone's going to be the odd man out over there if they, keep on having left and right. So Favari has this opportunity, and you want to, give a kid like that an opportunity to play because you need to get a bit younger. But then also on the forward ranks, if you have someone like McMichael who's playing really well and you need to find a spot for him, is he going to push out? Sprong isn't really coming with a big cap hit. Nick Dow's not coming with a big cap hit. Connor Sheary's only at 1.5 as well as Hathaway, so that's not really a big cap hit. But if, someone like a Carl Hagelin, if he's not playing as well as you'd like him to play, he's at 2.75. I mean, that does free up a bit of money. I'm not advocating to get rid of Carl Hagelin. I do think that's a lot of money to put into a fourth line winger. But, if he's doing a good job, he's doing well in the penalty kill, if he's chipping in, points every couple of games, and I think you're getting what you want from him. But at some point, McMichael is going to, essentially demand a roster spot. Not saying he's going to advocate for that, but his play is going to. His play is going to push him into a starting, or he'll get a Capitals jersey every night. And the question is where and who's he coming in for? And I just don't see that happening in the center spot this season, barring an injury.
Now, other two names that we should really bring up, you know, you brought up Connor McMichael. We talked a little bit about Martin Fehervari. It looks like he's going to get a spot with Dylan and Chara leaving the Washington organization. Dylan went up to the Jets while Chara decided to go to the Islanders.
That was very nice how that came full circle for him.
It's a good story for him. I'm still bummed he's not a part of it.
If he doesn't retire and, like, next season goes plays for somebody else, he kind of ruins the storyline, but whatever.
Right, but I'm very intrigued to see how Nick Jensen's game evolves from not having Chara to play across from, I guess.
That is going to be interesting.
So what is his game going to do? Because without that veteran leadership on that side, is his game just going to fall off like it did the year before?
No, I think that's a fair thing to question because, you know, he wasn't exactly lighting the world on fire when he came over from Detroit. He got paired with a, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer in Zdeno Chara and played well. But can he keep that level of play up playing with someone that's obviously not as good? You know, he's going to have, what is he? He's right-sided. So he could end up playing with Kempe or he could end up playing with Fehervari if they continue the lefty on the left, righty on the right. So is he going to be able to step up and be that veteran guy like Chara to an extent? I mean, Jensen's 31, so it wasn't like he needed a veteran guy. He wasn't a rookie by any means. But is he going to be able to step up and be that veteran guy to play alongside Fehervari, or do they have to mix it up a bit? We'll see, but someone I think on the defense needs to go because they got too much money invested in their defense right now.
DailyFaceoff.com right now has it listed as Orlov Carlson is the first pairing, Kempe Schultz second pairing, Van Riemsdyk Jensen third pairing. I don't know. That defense really doesn't...
That's not taken in the left and the right.
No, it is not. But that is what DailyFaceoff.com is showing right now as the pairing. So I don't know if that's what happened in training camp today. I don't know. We'll see maybe in the first preseason game.
Way too early. Yeah. I would say even like the third or fourth preseason game is when we really need to be figuring like, unless they, like the first two games... You know, if Jensen and Fehervari or Jensen and Kempe are paired together, you're like, all right, they're clearly like looking at something if they do it two games in a row. But I'd wait till like the third or fourth preseason game. I wait till after the first couple of cuts to be like, okay, now I think they know what they want to do. I mean, they probably have an idea as to what they want to do. But I'd wait to sort of look at it and go, okay, this is really what they're doing.
Now, the other name that a lot of people are kind of wondering about, besides McMichael, besides Fehervari, a lot of people are talking about Henrik Lapierre and whether or not he will have an impact on the Washington Capitals roster or lineup this season. Personally, I mean, he just got drafted, in 2020? Henrik Lapierre is a name that we could definitely see in the preseason. I doubt he cracks the lineup for the regular season, but he's a guy that a lot of people have been paying attention to. He's a very skilled player, but he's still very young. I think he's still got a lot of room to grow.
He's definitely one that I'm rather curious about. You know, like you said, I don't think he's going to make the roster out of training camp, and I wouldn't anticipate him necessarily, unless he like tears it up, because I guess he would go back to Hershey.
I don't think he's even at that level yet, to be honest. I think he's still playing.
Oh, he may still have to go to juniors.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He didn't play the World Juniors this year. I don't know if he was allowed to play it at the end of 2020, but maybe he potentially could be doing some international hockey in December.
I mean, he's one that, you know, give another year in juniors, give him some seasoning. You know, he's not, unless he tears it up in training camp. Like, he's going to have an amazing training camp and an amazing preseason to be able to make this roster where they're like, you know what? We're going to give this kid a chance, because they can still bring him up and then send him down, you know, after like the 10 game mark or something along those lines, and not have it count towards 1 year of his contract, which seems a little weird, but I don't anticipate that happening, but he's definitely one to keep an eye on to see how he's acclimating. As he's getting a little bit older, he's like 19 years old. He's definitely one I want to keep an eye on. I think he and McMichael's the only guy, really, him and Fehervari, but Fehervari, I think he's even to an extent ahead of McMichael in terms of making the roster, just because of the literal players and the sides they play on that are on the roster right now versus Lapierre. I don't think he's going to make the roster, but he's definitely one I want to keep an eye on in preseason to see how he does. I don't really know if there's that many other young players that I'm like, I definitely want to keep an eye on. You know, there's a bunch of guys, Alexiev.
Yeah, that's the name I was going to bring up.
You know, I want to see how he's doing
for a while now.
He's 21. You know, defensemen sometimes take a little longer. given Favari's 21, but he's also played in the NHL already. You know, I think they both will be pushing. They're both left-sided defensemen, according to Cap Friendly. I just don't have the Caps website open right now. You know, those are kind of guys that you want to just keep an eye on as they go forward. But, I think Alexiev's probably still going to Hershey, and then he might be your first call-up if a defenseman goes down or you need someone. I mean, you'll probably have a seventh defenseman who can step in anyways. But I don't really have anyone else that I'm, like, really looking at right now that I'm going, okay, this is someone I definitely want to be paying attention to. There's plenty of guys to look at, but no one that I like stands out at this moment in time.
Now, Michael Kempney, he's coming back, and hopefully we can see a little bit of the magic we saw from him in the cup run, but he's missed, I mean, massive amounts of ice time.
Yeah.
Let's see what he can do in the preseason, but this guy, I think, I mean, he's definitely, his legs got to be fresh, but
if they haven't fallen off.
Yeah, that is a lot of rust to wear off. I mean, he's been putting some workout videos online. He looks like he's in great shape. I'm ecstatic for him that he's been able to work his way back after multiple injuries that just either end your season or end things early. I mean, it's been really bad, but do you think this guy can still have, you know, the skill and the I don't even know what the right word is. Does he still have it to be able to play in the game?
I mean, I think that's what the Capitals are banking on to an extent. You know, you have probably Carlson or Orlov as your top pairing, but after that, things get a little fuzzy in terms of what you're really going to look at. I mean, Schultz is definitely in that second pairing, but is he going to be paired up with Kempney? Is he going to be paired up with Favari? Is he going to paired up with Alexiev? You know, Kempney really needs to prove himself. Like you were talking about before, Jensen needs to prove himself a bit without Chara there. They've got Trevor Van Riemsdyk. They like him. You know, they definitely want to keep him around, I think, and give him an opportunity to play. I think he is going to get an opportunity to play at some point. I just don't know. You know, it's tough to say who's going to be after those top three guys of Schultz, Orlov, and Carlson. Like, who is the next person that they are going to be able to rely on to be that second part of that second pairing? And just Kempney, there's just so many question marks because he's been out for the last 9 years or whatever the case was. You know, he hasn't played hockey since Blades of Steel was a popular video game. You know, it's been a while, and for him to come back, and you know, I almost wonder, like, you back and go, I think he needs to be on third pairing at least for a bit, but he could come back and be like, look, I've trained, I've got myself back into physical shape, I've got myself back into mental shape. It's, can he be in game shape? And that's the thing we're waiting to see in terms of how he's going to play, because right now they need him to step up. And the problem is with something like that is that if he cannot play at that right level, you know, I'm not even worried about the cap at that point. It's can you just move him on in general? It's because you want the roster spot. You know, is someone else going to look at him and be like, no? You know, he's contract's up at the end of the season, so that gives you a little bit of room in terms of being able to move him out. You're not going to get anything for him. You know, maybe you're getting a seventh round pick, if that. And that's even that. You're moving him out because it's a salary cap dump. You know, you want to free up that $2.5 million to be able to make some other moves because you're so tight against the cap right now. But if I have to, you know, he's another one, like you're talking about, one to keep an eye on to see how he's doing, because if he gets injured, that is what it is, you know, and you can put him on long-term injury reserve and his cap, it doesn't hurt anymore. But if he's playing and just not playing well, that's a problem, because he's going to be hard to move, and that's a lot of money to sit up in the press box for a team that doesn't have cap space.
But yeah, exactly. That's a lot of money to be sitting in the press box, but let's move on. Let's talk about somebody else. And there was a lot of talk at the end of last season about this guy being traded away, that we were sick of his malarkey. And
who uses the word malarkey?
I don't know. And we were just ready for this guy to go. But hey, still a cap. He's still here. Yevgeny Kuznetsov. People asked him during the media day, were you at all shocked that people were talking about you leaving town and that you were being traded away and everything? And he said that people can't judge him from the last year, and to judge him now, that he missed the fans, and it felt like a job every day going to work, and wah, 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 wah. So he said he lost his smile. I don't know if he's late 90s Shawn Michaels, but he said he lost his smile, and he's going to have his smile back once the fans are back in the stands. But I don't know. Is is Yevgeny Kuznetsov skating on thin ice at this point, or are they giving him yet another shot? What do you think the Capitals are expecting from Kuznetsov moving forward?
I mean, they're in kind of a tough spot for him because it's not like other teams don't know what's going on with him.
Right.
So that, to an extent, you know, knowing whether he's a headache or not, you know, I don't think he like causes problems in the locker rooms per se, but he didn't exactly set the world on fire last season statistically or with his off ice antics. You know, he's the only guy, I believe, in the NHL that got COVID twice. So clearly he was doing something wrong. You know, and he came out and he said, like, COVID is dangerous. And, like, I had it, and there were days where I felt awful. And, like, so he knows. It wasn't like he was just kind of, or maybe he was, like, disregarding the realities of it. Because he got it twice. But they weren't able to move him out, and we don't know how hard they pushed to move him or if they're waiting for the right deal, whatever the case may be. And losing him for nothing or losing him for a player that you can't put in the center spot does put you in a bit of a bind because you don't have McMichael. You don't have a lot of cap space. Odds are you're moving him out. You're bringing someone in that has a big cap hit. So it doesn't really help you in that regard. He says he's motivated after last season and that he, you know, the trade rumors in the off season that he's motivated. He wants to be smiling again and have a good time. And I hope that's the case because this team needs him to score. You know, he's probably gonna be playing on the first line with Ovechkin and Wilson, and they need him producing, whether it's goals or assists. He needs to be putting points up on the board. If he's not doing that, he's not doing what they need him to do, and that they need to move him out. And I don't know if there's a team right now that's going to be able to afford his contract if he's not playing well, or want to afford his contract, I should say, if he's not playing well. I mean, there's already another center in the NHL right now that has not been moved, and part of that could be because of his injury issues right now, and part of that could be because he might be a bit of a headache. Maybe a team like that that's looking to bring in, you know, that other guy might be like, you know what, maybe Kuznetsov is less of a headache and less of an issue and his cap hit isn't as high and you've got him still locked up for, you know, including this season, 4 more years. So maybe someone comes along, but, you know, moving him out will be put a big hole in this lineup. I was of the thought of last season that after last season, move him out. You know, we need something else. We need to shake things up. I do think this team probably couldn't have hurt by getting a little bit of a shakeup. You know, they tried the Mantha Vrana thing. I still think that was a good deal. I don't think it hurt this team bringing in Mantha for Vrana. I don't think would have made a difference last year, given Vrana's prior 2 playoff seasons of recording exactly a combined 0 points. But, you know, moving out Kuznetsov, that's a big move. And it would send a little bit of ripples into the locker room and maybe motivate these guys to play a little bit harder. But it didn't come to fruition this offseason, and, you know, we'll see what happens. He could be motivated. He can come out here wanting to prove something. Maybe he has a chip on his shoulder. And he's like, you know what? Screw you guys. You didn't, you know, you thought I'm beat to the fans of the organization. You know, maybe he's looking at Brian McClellan and going, screw you. You thought I wasn't any good. I'm going to show you up now. Let me play better. And you know what? I hope it works because I already have his t-shirt. So it makes it easy. I'll have to go buy somebody else's.
I hope it works too. And that's definitely something that motivates me. You know, if somebody tells me I can't do something, guess what? I'm doing it. So hopefully he feels the same way. And when they're like, hey, you're not going to be a part of this team, we're going to let you hit the bricks. And unless you do something, maybe he's like, all right, I still want to play. I still want to be here. I still want to be friends with Ovi. So maybe that'll motivate him a little bit, but only time will tell. Again, this year feels very different than last year's because it's a lot of, all right, let's wait and see what happens next. Like before, it was like, you know, they won the cup and now we're going to go back to back and this team is great. Nobody left and this, that, whatever. And then there's a new coach and now it's kind of like, okay, let's see what happens. I don't think any of us would be shocked by, you know, a lot of wins in the regular season and then kind of, you know, falling out in the first round again. But it's a lot of wait and see. I'd like to see also what Laviolette does as the head coach in a less of a COVID year. I don't want to say a non-COVID year because it's still very much around, but it's less of a COVID year. And I think it was Russian Machine had an article about this, that he's meeting people for the first time he's never met before in person. So yes, there are still going to be restrictions, but it's not going to be as strict as it was last year pre-vaccine. So it'll be interesting to see what he can now do when he can be a coach to the fullest extent. Whereas before, it was like, okay, let's set up a Zoom call and let's do this and let's do that. And, you know, with him being able to be more hands-on, we'll really get to see what kind of coach he is.
I mean, yeah, it's, you know, it's things get back to normal. I think everything is to, from a team standpoint, things are back to normal in terms of how they can go about things. You know, they're going to have masks to an extent. It's not going to be quite what it used to be, but I think it's going to be a much more normal opportunity and a much more normal season. And I think this upcoming one will be a better chance for us. I really avoided saying opportunity again there. This upcoming season will be a better chance for us to see what this team has and see what Laviolette brings as the head coach, because this is a talented roster, and this is a roster that should be competing for the division and should be getting out of the first round of the playoffs. It's an older roster, which is a little bit of a problem, but it's a roster that should be doing well. And, you know, how it looks now is not necessarily how it's going to look later in the season, be it injuries, trades, whatever it might be. But this team should do better than it did. And, you know, they have to go into the season having high expectations and believing in themselves that they're able to do more than they did last year. And I think all of that is the case. They just have to prove it.
And we should add that the Mass Mutual East is dead. We are not a part of that anymore. We are back in the Metropolitan Division. That's back around. So we will be welcoming, I believe, Columbus and Carolina back into the mix. So we will see them a bunch of times again. And what else is different? Oh, and I believe the team is almost fully vaccinated, right?
McClellan came out and said in 2 days the team will be fully vaccinated.
So 2 days fully vaccinated. That's good news, because the NHL has some very, very, very strict rulings about vaccinated versus non-vaccinated.
I'm sure the Caps will find a way to break it.
You know, yeah, if you guys want to hang out and, you know, play Xbox in somebody's hotel room on the road, that's the way to do it. So anything else? Oh, another thing we should be covering, the promotional schedule came out. They told us there's not that many giveaway nights, but there's still some giveaway nights. And how are we going to kick it off? As we always do, all fans schedule magnet giveaway opening night.
Yeah, what a joke.
Get that magnet. That's how we do. Other fun stuff you might be able to be, you might be interested in. Tom Wilson bobblehead giveaway October 27th, where he's the Wilson volleyball.
I feel like that joke needs to die.
I mean, it was 2 years old. They couldn't do it last year because there were no fans. But they're bringing it back. They're finally getting those bobbleheads out the door. The Caps holiday party. We've got an ugly Christmas sweater T-shirt giveaway on December 6th up against Anaheim. I will have to go to that game because I want that T-shirt. There's a kids' day, a youth hockey game, and then a John Carlson bobblehead in the should-be-the-primary W sweaters.
No, don't you dare go that far to say it should be the primary sweater.
On March 22nd, should be the primary. That's my take, and I'm sticking to it.
This is why we don't like each other off air.
And got to thank my girlfriend for getting me that sweater for my birthday. Can't wait to break that one out, because that W logo and that dark blue, navy blue – man, that's what are the kids doing now? Hashtag chef's kiss. That's what the kids are saying. Yeah, that's what that is.
Dude, I work at a school and I have not heard that.
Ah, that thing, you know, with you put your hand in the air and then chef's kiss.
Keep it going.
Yeah. But bobblehead John Carlson, March 22nd. I'm going to go to that game too. And then there's a fan appreciation. I don't know what that means, but two bobbleheads, a T-shirt. I mean, it's something. It's better than the last couple years.
That's not bad. I mean, we'll see how it goes. Be nice if we have a couple more, but, you know, it is what it is.
I'm glad that these are, like, all fan giveaways, too. It's not like, hey, you need to buy that special $200 ticket to get this gravy boat.
That's a good point.
Yeah. All right, anything else we should cover in Caps news?
Last little bit of news is that the team hired Dr. Amy Kimball as their new Senior Director of Team and Organizational Development. Dr. Kimball has 15 years of NHL experience. 10 of them were in Pittsburgh. Won't hold it against her. And 5 were in New Jersey. Now, the team in a release said that in her role, Kibble will provide skilled direction and support in the areas of player development falling outside of the standard skills, strength, and on-ice training. In addition, Kibble's work will include the proper formulation, accumulation, and presentation of all player development-related information and plans. Her work will span all phases of player development, that being pre-draft evaluation of players, development of players after draft, and working with both minor league players and NHL players. Kibble also currently serves as the mental performance coach for the USA Hockey Women's National Team for the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing. I think this is a good pickup by the team.
Very good.
Got a lot of experience. I think it can only help.
Absolutely, 100%.
So I think it's a good call. Good call. But yeah, I think that's covered everything in hockey. In the Caps hockey. One other guy. Do we talk about Anthony Mantha? I just want to see more consistency from him. I still like that pickup. I think he's a good player. I think having, a full season now with the team, I think will help him. I think he's going to play better this year.
I hope so. I mean, he got traded here and kind of blasted on the scene, and everybody was like, oh my God, this guy is great. And then after four games, he kind of disappeared a little bit. I think Laviolette put him with Backstrom and Ovechkin, trying to get him to liven up a little bit and be like, you're skilled enough to play on this team and be with these guys, so you got to pick it up. And hopefully this offseason he was able to reflect a little bit, realize, how important he is to this team. Let's see what he can do. And I do have high hopes for him. I think he's very talented. Let's see what he can bring to the table with a full start of a season with the Caps. It's always hard when you get traded halfway through the season.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah. All right. Well, if that's it for what's going on in Caps world, let's transition here and let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. Lots of stuff going on. The NHL's waking back up. Welcome to ESPN. Welcome to TNT. Here we go. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
Well, let's start in Buffalo, where things are a bit of a mess with their hockey team. Jack Eichel has been stripped of the Sabres captaincy, and he is still fighting with the team right now in regards to his, I believe, neck issues. He wants to have one particular procedure. The team wants him to have this, a different one. I don't really understand the whole, it's his body. He's the one that has to live with it after, either his time with the organization, which should be coming to an end. When that ends or his career is over, and however long that may be. So I don't get this. I think the Sabres have completely botched how this is going to work. I know they probably didn't get any trade offers that they thought were the best things for their organization going forward, but at some point he's becoming more of a problem than you really want to have, and you want to be able to move on from this and take the spotlight off the situation. So Sabres and Eichel, definitely well on their way towards a messy divorce.
Yeah.
Longtime New Jersey Devil and short-term New York Islander Travis Ajak retired this past offseason. He's taken up a position in the with the Devils, and I believe in their front office. News out of Pittsburgh that Evgeny Malkin is going to miss the first 2 months of the season. And finally, we talked about this a little bit, that Zdeno Chara, Brandon's favorite player of all time, of all sports.
I wouldn't go that far.
He signed, I believe, a one-year deal with the New York Islanders. But yeah, that's what I could find of what's going on around the NHL. I'm sure there's a lot more this past offseason. Lots of guys getting signed to new deals. It gets more interesting as we get into the season. But it's going to be a good one, hopefully, for the Caps.
There's two other things I want to bring up real quick. We talked about Tariq El-Bashir joining TNT. Did you hear who else joined TNT to be an analyst?
Are we talking about Mr. Wayne Gretzky?
Mr. John Tortorella.
Did he really? Oh, my God. I'm excited.
Yeah, he's going to be an analyst. He refuses to say he's a part of the media. But let's hear what that guy has to say on a live mic every night.
I know. That is going to be amazing.
That's going to be a lot of fun. And the other piece of news, I sent this to Coach Dan yesterday or the day before, and the IIHF has released the logo for 2023 World Ice Hockey Championship that's going to be in St. Petersburg. To me, it looks like the handicap parking symbol, but in Russian colors. Coach Sam was all right with it, though. He liked the
I thought
it
looked fine. I mean, yeah. Considering some of these logos we've seen recently for tournaments, I'll take this one. Have you seen the logo for the Abbotsford Canucks? It's the minor league, the AHL affiliate of the Vancouver Canucks.
No.
It is, I believe their logo, unless I'm mistaken, their logo is the Canucks one of the dude skating with the, like, beanie hat. Love it.
Oh, yeah, that's a good logo.
I like it.
I dig that. Also, speaking of Canucks, we do have to congratulate, by the way, the Canadian women's hockey team for winning the Women's World Hockey Championship.
Do we have to?
Yeah, I mean, we gotta, you know, give them their due. They finally beat the U.S., came down to overtime. They got a lucky goal. No. Congratulations to them. They won gold. It was a hard-fought tournament. But, hey, ladies, be ready because Olympics ain't that far away. Couple months, U.S. is going to win that gold again. That's what we're going to say.
There you go.
All right, so, hey. Is that it for the show?
I think that's it. Let's wrap it up, buddy.
All right. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. You can talk to us on Twitter. Tweet to us anytime. My Twitter handle is @BrandoCash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter @WTPCoachDan. Occasionally talking about things related to the Washington Capitals. It's harder to be on Twitter all the time when you have a small kid who now talks. Yeah. Which is both cool, but also kind of annoying. Like, I don't need to hear everything you got to say, buddy. I'm kidding. He's fun when he's behaving himself. When he's not, he's the worst. Someone else can have him. But yeah, that's finding me on Twitter @WTPCoachDan, talking Caps hockey, talking about Arsenal Football Club. It's been a bit of a rough start to the season. We'll see how Sunday's North London Derby goes. We will also see, you find me on there talking about the Bills, watching the football team from time to time. Hey, if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's when we'll post when new shows are coming out, as well as other things related to the Washington Capitals and anything else that pops into Brandon's head. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, if they've enjoyed this show and they would like to follow any of your other shows that are not currently on Apple Podcasts, Where should they go?
So you can, wherever you're listening to your podcast, as long as it's not Apple Podcasts, you can listen to my Ravens podcast called The Call. We've been back for a couple weeks now at this point. The Ravens coming off a big win against the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. We're going to be preparing for the game against the Lions coming up on Sunday. So you can check us out, The Call, wherever you listen to this podcast. And you can go over to facebook.com/The Call Podcast, like us over there if you'd like to listen to that show as well. Now listen, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok. Anywhere you are social on the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Let's go over the games until we talk again. There are two preseason games coming up next week. On Sunday the 26th, the Capitals are in D.C. up against Boston, up against the Bruins. You can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington, and it looks like the NHL Network will be covering it as well. And then on Wednesday, September 29th, the Capitals welcome the Devils to town. That's a 7 o'clock start. You can watch that on the NHL Network or on NBC Sports Washington as well. Getting closer, guys. We are getting closer to regular season hockey. We're counting down the days to October 13th. Can't wait. That's going to be a blast to watch. That one's going to be on TNT. We know drama. Caps Rangers, October 13th. But we'll be back before then to cover everything going on during training camp and the exhibition games. So everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps!
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.